Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Lopez, this is the cool thing about the Texans being the ones to kick off the NFL season.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
This is what I love about it. When we go around the NFL,
oh, it's
the Texans leading the NFL,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah, everywhere.
It's Texans Bears from last night, the Hall of Fame game. And we got some news from around the NFL that we'll go to, but I don't want to bury the lead. I want to lead with this. We just heard from D'Amico Ryans. Let's react a little bit to what we heard from D'Amico Ryans. And the part that I want to focus on is the players. A couple of things here. Mm-hmm. First, the players that stood out to him. What do you think about the players that stood out specifically to D'Amico Ryans? That being Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, and the rookie safety, Kalen Bullock, as guys that stood out to him specifically last night.
Well, first of all, it's cool that D'Amico and you and I are on the same page, because those were the three that we talked about.
On the same wavelength.
Out of the chute this morning. But the significant thing, if you want, we talk about sweeping headlines, 72-point headlines, and mine was the Bobby Slowick thing, how efficiently this offense ran, even with guys that you're not going to be, you're going to be much better than at those positions once the season begins. Yours was Kalen Bullock. Well, he talked about Kalen Bullock. Kalen Bullock seemed to have a little something yesterday. And then we both talked about Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs. We didn't even know. I was hoping for it, but we didn't even know if Kenyon Green would play. The logic was, yeah, he should play because he's got a lot to prove, and he's coming back and wants to get out on the field and get as many reps as he can.
I mentioned that dude be getting hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. But
and then
put him out there.
Juice Scruggs, to me, is just I think he's a really good player in waiting. So we weren't sure if he was going to play, but he'd missed some games, so he needed to get some reps. They both not just played, they both stood out, and they stood out to the head coach as well.
This is what D'Amico Ryans said when asked about players, and he'd already talked about Kalen Bullock, by the way, but when he was asked about players that stood out from last night's game, this was your head coach, D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, I really liked Kenyon and Juice. It's up front. Really liked the way that they played in a snap thing. They both had probably over 20 snaps, but I thought they did a really nice job of going out and showing, who they can be. Still a lot to improve on, but I like the aggressiveness from Kenyon. I like how he got up to the second level. I like the way they were finishing blocks. So it's definitely a big step in the right direction for both guys when it comes to, continue to improve our front. And we know how important the front is, right, to be able to run the football, and also the protection aspect of it. So I thought both of those guys did a really nice job.
And to me, it's interesting listening to him, like the things that he says and the things that he doesn't. Clearly high on the interior offensive line. Mm-hmm. I think this is a big headline for the Texans, though, albeit just the first preseason game. But we went into training camp, went into the preseason, and it's a big deal if we don't go into the regular season with the same question of, hey, what do the Texans have exactly at left guard? And how long we like the center, but how long is it going to take him to adjust and get acclimated to actually playing the position in the NFL? Like, you gotta account for the fact that he didn't play much center last year. What's it going to look like? It looked pretty damn good last night.
If you drew it up at the end of last season, okay, what do you want to get out of Kenyon Green? He's exactly on or exceeding what you would have drawn up. You would have drawn up him coming back in better shape, him coming back looking a little trimmer, him coming back and earning, at least in training camp, the shot to be the starting left guard. And then when he gets into a preseason game, not just prove that he earns it, but play well enough that the head coach, unsolicited, by the way, that was an open-ended question. The question was, who stood out? It wasn't like, hey, what did you think about Kenyon Green? No, it was who stood out.
Right.
That was open-ended.
It was not a leading question.
And he named him by name. That is exactly how you would have drawn it up for Kenyon Green. So that was a nice day, nice couple of weeks for him.
Not just that, though, but juxtapose how you heard him talk about those interior offensive linemen, mind you, unprompted, as you just mentioned, versus when he was asked straight up about the defensive front.
Yeah.
So the defensive line, and it was posed in kind of a fluffy, positive way, to be honest, which is not a shot. I mean, it really was. And sometimes you do that to try to tee up the answer. But D'Amico Ryans did not take the bait. Juxtapose what you just heard before of how he talked about those interior offensive linemen to how he talked about the defensive line.
Yeah, I feel like guys – there were some plays where guys had some bright spots, and also just overall, we have to do better up front. We just have to be better at disrupting the quarterback. We have to be better in the run game, just alignments, our aiming points, our angles, like how we're finishing and closing to the football. Just a lot of things there where we can definitely improve upon.
So for me, my basic B thought that I had to start the show when I went offense good, defense bad. I feel like it's being supported by the head coach right there.
Mm-hmm. And the interior defensive line, which is going to be so crucial. So crucial. And keep in mind, D'Amico Autry going to be missing six games. This is where D'Amico's at his best. A lot of times he does regular coach stuff, kind of just training camp questions. Well, they're working hard. They're doing that. But when he sees something in a game and it's post game, he'll tell you exactly what he thinks. And it was very eye-opening.
He'll tell you exactly what he thinks? What did we think, or what are we to make of? What are we to make of D'Amico Ryans on John Metchie? Chris, do we have him on John Metchie? Mm-hmm. What are we to make? Because we heard what he had to say, glass half full, it felt like, on the interior offensive lineman, Juice Scruggs, Kenyon Green. Glass a little half empty on the defensive line. What's in between half full and half empty?
Yeah.
Whatever that is what we're talking about here with John Metchie, D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, Metchie, he showed up during camp just playing really fast, playing decisive, and we've seen that during the first couple of weeks of camp. Just want to continue to see that, you know, in the game. Where the game was yesterday, we'll see how he improves to the next week. And there's a lot of guys, man. It's that first one out. It's all about, okay, this is your starting point. So I don't put a lot into the game. I just put a lot into how guys respond the next time, right? After we make the corrections, we show guys where they have to improve, whether it's, you know, a D-line position, receiver, every position across the board. It's like, how can guys improve upon what they put out there on film on yesterday? So I'm excited to look ahead to this next week and to see how all of our guys improve.
So if my notes are correct, and I love D'Amico, or if my notes are correct, Kalen Bullock, Juice Scruggs, and Kenyon Green stood out.
Yeah.
We can all objectively say that John Metchie did not, maybe stood out for not standing out.
Yeah.
Put stock into Kalen Bullock and Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green, but not going to put stock into not just Metchie, but any of the other players who underperformed in the game. Let's actually see how they respond in practice and in the next game. So these guys stood out for what they did.
Yeah.
These other guys did not stand out for what they didn't do.
He put that in about as nice a way as you could.
Very delicate.
Delicately, he did not play well. John Metchie, that's D'Amico nicely putting, you've had a good camp. You've stood out. You've looked faster. But you did not play well. He's talking about it's how you respond and all that. That's I think, a little different than from what they're telling John Metchie in the meetings as they're watching film, etc. It was a very big day, and not in a good way, for John Metchie. Like, it was a very big day, as big as you can get to this point in the season, because that's all you got, as opposed to like Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green. So, man, this is I think there's some story development here when it comes to John Metchie.
That's a great way to put it, because you can make the case that we're overreacting, and I did that segment earlier, right? Overreactions. Yeah. You can say, hey, it's just one game. You can do that. But for the one game that it is,
it's a developing story.
Like, you don't get to just pretend like it didn't happen. And I don't think that D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick and this coaching staff is going to be of that mind either. They're going to use this game as information and hopefully try to, like, have some teachable moments from it, whatever those are. But you know what I hear?
Yeah.
What I hear when D'Amico Ryans talks about, hey, you know, I want to see how some of these guys actually respond in practice and what they do in the next week. I hear practice player.
No, he's got to step up is what I hear.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's got to step up.
I hear a play. You know, we all know what a practice player is, right? A dude that just balls out in practice.
DeMeco has said it.
A dude that is like athletic as anything, is making plays in practice and feels like maybe your best player in practice. But for whatever reason, when the game starts, it doesn't translate, whether it's circumstance, luck, or whatever it is. Like it just, it's not translating to what you're seeing in practice.
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing out there on the yard is not what you're seeing in the game. Practice player, you need to go from being this guy who shows up in practice, this guy who Noah Brown describes as, and I'm not seeing this, who Noah Brown describes as, if not the best athlete, one of the better athletes in the entire room. Well, that's apparently something that they're seeing in practice and workouts. It needs to show up in the game.
DeMeco said it this week, talking about he's looking forward to the game because some guys just know how to step it up when the lights are on, is how we put it, how a lot of people put it. This is not like, oh my gosh, John Metchie's not going to make the squad. No, it's not that. But John Metchie, as I said, there's a story developing in the wide receiver room, because couple that with what happened with Xavier Hutchinson. Xavier Hutchinson, you know, showed out a little bit. Hell, Ben Skoranek, who also has the special teams going for him, he looked pretty good. So, yeah, we got to keep an eye on this.
I think we perhaps could have done a better job of giving Xavier Hutchinson a little bit more play than we did ahead of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, like, I'm not blaming us for it. The hits are the hits. The storylines are the storylines. And John Metchie, for a number of reasons, is a more compelling storyline.
Yeah.
Higher draft pick, been through a lot, been on the team long, was drafted before this guy, right? Like, so there are reasons why John Metchie would be a priority conversation over Xavier Hutchinson. But if there was a thing to learn from the game, a thing to glean from it, it's that the pecking order might be a little bit different. Like, this might be somebody that we actually should focus a little bit more on as we go around the NFL here on In the Loop. Non-Texans related. DeAndre Hopkins. Somewhat Texans related, right? Former Texan DeAndre Hopkins, now with the Tennessee Titans. Hurt his knee, going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Doesn't mean that they're not going to get to play against the Texans, or Hopkins is not going to get to play against the Texans, because you know they don't play until week 12. But DeAndre Hopkins, it's going to be a long year for them. He is out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, and the Titans, in my book anyway, already sort of on thin ice. You need all the weapons you can get. DeAndre Hopkins is a big one. 4 to 6 weeks is pretty significant. You know, they've got some other guys out there. You know, obviously Treylon Burks, who knows what he's going to be.
It was a good thing they brought in Calvin Ridley.
But you can't afford to miss all these. And like the Texans are still going to probably face him, because they don't face until week 12.
Yeah, man. It's one of those where wild to see guys get older.
Yeah.
You know, like,
dude, did you see Zeke Elliott, that video that's making the rounds?
I did not.
Oh my gosh. We are around the NFL, so.
Oh, speaking of videos, I can't wait till now. I'm like skipping a segment here, because we got internet going nuts coming up next. And I got a couple of them that are actually pretty funny. But no, I've not seen Zeke.
So Zeke was running a drill, and some of our listeners, I'm sure, have seen it. He was running a drill. And when he came out of the drill through the cones or whatever, the little pads, he was hunched over, walking like he's 60 years old.
Oh, my God.
With
I'm
a bad
him.
Back. Like, and then just hunches over to try to take some breaths.
Can somebody check on my guy?
What is...
I'm watching
that. That's the dude you signed? Like, this was just a drill. And he is, like, gassed. And, like, it's like he's... You can almost hear the creaking.
They're in Oxford, right?
Yeah.
What's the temperature out there? Is my
it
man
ain't
having
that
a
bad.
Heat?
It's California, man. I'm sure it's hot, but it's not brutal. Like, he is the air barely has to be able to move.
Oh, my God.
That's low-key faded, bro.
Yeah, maybe that was what it was.
That could be what it
maybe
was.
Maybe that's what it was.
It's so weird, though, too. He's wearing his old number from college,
yeah,
but he looks very much not in college anymore. Like he looks old and washed.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with the Cowboys, man?
They're a mess.
Clint and Sean were talking about this last night on the post game show. Just how, and Clint's hot take, I'm with this. Bubba, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. I had not thought about it like that, Lopez. Like, my whole thing with the Cowboys was, how are they going to go from here to there? Yeah. Like, how are they going to elevate, considering they did nothing to elevate their team? But I thought they'd at least be relatively close to what they were last year. So, like, you know, a double-digit win team that's pretty good enough to get into the playoffs, but obviously disappoint their fans the way that they do every year in the playoffs. Figured that was their fate this year. I hadn't taken the next step, gone the next level that Clint did of saying, you know what, they fall flat.
Yeah,
they fall on their face, and don't be surprised if the playoffs come and the Cowboys are not participating in it. Hadn't thought about it until Clint said it. But he could be on to something.
Yeah, look, the Cowboys on paper probably should be the favorites with the Eagles. Malik Nabers is tearing it up in New York. Who knows with the Commanders? But, yeah, it's certainly on the table, especially if Zeke can't walk without creaking.
Justin Herbert's got a plantar fasciitis situation. Whatever the exact injury, he's in a walking boot.
Yeah.
So I think that's significant enough. Going to miss a little bit of time, but yeah, as we go around the NFL here, Justin Herbert, one of the better quarterbacks in the game, in a walking boot. Not great news for the Chargers, but they still got to feel good about their situation, pairing him with a real, actual, viable head coach. Like, if they got to wait on that a little bit for him to get out of the boot before they can pair him up with Harbaugh and really see what that looks like, hell, that's got to be worth the wait.
If Harbaugh can't do it with the Chargers, no one can. The Chargers, I mean, this is like the least surprising thing of the preseason. Justin Herbert's in a walking boot.
Oh, that the Chargers are charging?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. They're having some issues? Golly.
I can't quit Herbert, man.
Yeah.
I'm still in that camp. I can't quit him. I know Clint's not high on him.
I think
him.
You and I are president and vice president of the Herbert fan club.
I know a lot of people are like, well, what has he done? Yeah. What has he done other than a playoff collapse and lose to Trevor Lawrence? And man, he's good, man. Are you watching?
Yeah.
The dude is good. If he's not in a walking boot, the dude is the truth.
Yeah.
I'm not selling a lick of Justin Herbert's stock.
Yeah.
As we go around the NFL. Here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire opened up for the first time about the fact that he might have killed a guy. Like, we haven't.
Hold on, what?
Yeah. No, we were never really fully clear on this. I just knew that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was involved in a deadly robbery in which he was on the living side of it. Wasn't sure if he was the actual trigger man or if he was with the trigger man. But they were like, somebody was selling something and then it went south and turned into a robbery. Somebody had to defend themselves. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire ended up on the living side of the dead.
Yeah.
Addressed it and says he's got PTSD from this. Like, you know, and we've never talked about it. I've heard people joke about it like, hey, don't mess with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
Hey, if he loses his spot to Isaiah Pacheco, be careful about making jokes about it, because dude know how to handle business and defend himself. But on a serious note, he talked about and actually addressed going through some PTSD because he might have had to kill a guy when he was in college.
Might have.
I don't know if it was him or his mans.
Maybe.
Him or his boy. One of the two of them. Like, we were never exactly clear or sure on who exactly was the trigger man, but he was involved and he survived.
So just because of the maybe, he has PTSD?
He was there. Either he killed a guy or he was there when his mans killed a guy to save their life. One of the two happened. He was there, though, when homie got dead.
Oh, man, this is wild.
Now, like, on a more serious note, like, he's... What do y'all think about him? Is he good? Is he not good? Like,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah, like, not a big fan, right? But do you think maybe that has something to do with, like...
Oh, he says it.
With, like, his decline?
Yeah, he's saying it right there.
That's what I'm getting at here.
Yeah.
And as far as, like, slander, or is he good or is he not, they handle up. He good with me?
Yeah.
You all right with me, Chris?
I think he's the greatest running back in history.
Hey, man. If anybody asks... What did B. Scott have to say about Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah.
It was rave reviews.
Yeah.
Glowing.
Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Nothing but good things to say about my man.
That's right.
Yeah, you handle it up like that at age 18. This is like when he first got to LSU.
Yeah.
He's good. I'm good with him. That is Around the NFL here on In the Loop. Coming up next, track and field starts today, which means the Olympics starts today, which means the internet is going nuts right here on Sports Radio 610.
I got the internet going nuts.
Look, I know that Simone Biles is the local Olympic hero because of the Houston ties. But I got to be real with you, man, as we go around the internet with the internet going nuts. Sha'Carri Richardson,
yeah.
Because she will correct you. It looks like Sha'Carri to me, and without like actually knowing her and mm-hmm. you know calling her by her name in person, I just go to Sha'Carri. But my bad, Miss Richardson. Sha'Carri Richardson is my Olympic hero right now, especially amongst the females.
A lot of people pulling for her.
I cannot wait to watch her, Lopez. Yeah. I cannot wait to watch her and all of the track and field.
Look, man, I've been all in. I just love the Olympics. That's no secret for decades. Today's one of the best days. Today and tomorrow is one of the best days ever. In fact, Sha'Carri Richardson already ran her prelim today with the semifinal tomorrow. This is what it sounded like.
First three in each heat move to the semifinals. Richardson was conservative at the start, but now she seizes control. Sha'Carri Richardson ahead of the pack. Job done in round one. Welcome to the Olympic Games, Sha'Carri Richardson.
A lot of people are pulling for her today. And I say it's one of the best days. Not only do you have track and field starting, this is me nerding out on the Olympics. But you got the 50-meter freestyle in swimming. That is one of the most intensely competitive, closest, toughest, trash-talkingest events in the Olympics everywhere, every year. I mean, think about some of the great swimmers. The 50, they breathe maybe twice.
Yeah, so...
Maybe twice.
I got to give it to you, man. Like, you're right about this.
Yeah.
It is absolutely... super intense.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And I'll credit.
They start slapping each other and talking trash. And
I don't know if it's just because of my age and like I'm coming of age at the time when Michael Phelps is at the height of being Michael Phelps, I am becoming an adult at that time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just that, but that's what Michael Phelps did for me. Was like before that, I thought swimming. You know, like I like to swim.
Oh, it's the best.
But I didn't think of it as like this premier event in my mind until then. And then like even post Michael Phelps now,
yeah.
I'm able to appreciate all the things that you just mentioned 100%. I am here for it. Even though I'm mostly here for track and field,
yeah.
You are right about this.
The 50 free is.
Not only Michael Phelps, but Katie Ledecky.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, she looks like she is on a different planet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't even look fair. It looks like there should be a handicap.
She swam 1,500 meters in 15 minutes.
Nobody else is, like, in the front. Where's everybody else?
They had to zoom out.
Who's she competing against?
They had to zoom out for her to show everybody.
It's like she's competing against herself.
Yeah.
Also, internet going nuts.
I got the internet going nuts.
Well, wait, I was like, man, am I going to get my internet going nuts? Where is Paul?
My bad.
Well, no, don't leave me, Paul. Simone Biles. And look, I picked Sha'Carri over Simone just now. It's not like me to pick a Dallas girl over a Houston girl. So I apologize to the city. But Simone Biles, even though maybe not my favorite Olympian,
mm-hmm.
the GOAT nonetheless. Undeniable. You can't argue with you can hate or love, mm-hmm. but you can't argue with success. Greatness speak for itself.
Yeah.
Goats be the goats, whether you like it or not. And one thing about Simone Biles that you can't say, that you cannot accuse her of, is not being self-aware or not understanding that she's the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she the GOAT and she know it.
Don't only have the gold medal around your neck, but there's also a GOAT. Yeah. Tell me about it.
It's a little ode. I mean, a lot of people love it. They always call me the goat, so I thought it would be really special if I got one made, and the haters hate it, so I love that even more. And it's just a special part of me
that I
have
here,
as well as in the village, I have like a stuffed goat, just to get a reminder, like, you can go out there, you can do it, you've done it before, so let's go.
Oh my God.
That's what makes it so good.
Oh my God. She is the GOAT.
She's polarizing.
She is fantastic. Yeah. She is nails on a damn chalkboard to listen to, bro.
Oh yeah. Well, a lot of gymnasts are.
Oh, but she's got the. Yeah. So I cannot stand.
I know where you're going.
the people who sing, who like have a singing type of cadence. You got girls that do it, you got guys that do it.
Yeah.
But I cannot stand that they don't like it and they hate it.
They
and
go
they,
up at the end. That's a very, very much a pet peeve.
Whoever,
are you going to finish that?
Man, I cannot stand that voice cadence.
You want to go? You want to go?
Ugh. Nails on a damn chalkboard, dog. Even though she's undeniable.
Oh,
she's
undeniable. Greatest. And I love that she embraces it. Ooh. It can be polarizing. It is polarizing. But she knows she has lovers and haters.
And the haters, they hate it. And I love it. And I da-da-da.
Yeah.
Please stop. Please don't talk like that.
So let's say she's inviting someone to go to the mall.
Hey, you want to go to the mall and go to Forever 21? Because we're going to go to the food court. And I think we might eat some. Like, what? Like,
this is so
if
awesome.
You want to go to Banana Republic and then we go to Hollister and it. Stop it.
I love it. I love it.
I got the internet going nuts.
So we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Lopez. You and I are just in a different space of understanding exactly what is going on exactly with this polarizing topic in women's boxing. I'm going to sit here for the record and acknowledge that at least the Olympic committee, the Olympic body, the powers that be, if you will, have acknowledged that the women's boxer is eligible to compete with women. Okay. Mm-hmm. We were a little bit unclear on that because our point was yesterday, we ain't going to never reach the space.
No, my point was to me.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, my personal opinion.
Well,
it looked bad.
Well, but the point is, like, we don't really get to fully have an opinion on this, on this part of it, on whether she's a woman or not. They say she a woman, she a woman. And I don't really want to get, like, political in it and, like, say, well, no, she ain't, and all of that. Like, I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
I was unclear on what she was.
Yeah.
And I'm being honest, I'm still unclear on some
because
on
they
how
said
some of this stuff
she
plays
was,
out.
She's a woman. That's what the Olympics said.
But she failed some tests.
But she failed two gender tests because of XY chromosome. So it's I'm sure it's very, very complicated. But the Olympics are saying she's a woman.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Since it's complicated, since it's not binary, if you will.
Yeah.
Dare I use a term to fit with this? Can we not say that she failed a gender test?
Oh, yeah.
Or can we not even, like, can we, like, totally recharacterize and all of that? Like, this thing got ugly real fast, but more than anything, it's confusing, man.
Yeah, it is.
I said this earlier when we brought this up. I ain't a bigot.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm lost. I'm confused.
It's very, very confusing. You hit the nail on the head.
I got the internet going nuts.
We should mention one last time. Skip Bayless Day, like you said.
Yeah.
It's the last one. You're going to miss him. I'll say this. I already miss him. It's been a while since I cared about what he had. But I'm not going to pretend like I never cared about what Skip Bayless had to say.
Yeah.
Like I was never on the edge of my seat watching First Take. Like that show and Skip Bayless's role in it is not pioneering in our profession. It 100% absolutely is. But it's been a while since I cared about what Skip had to say, man.
Even if you scroll through now, though, part of you always wonders, I wonder what the hell Skip Bayless said. Like some texters were like, oh, Lopez, you know, no, that's B. Scott's right. It's been 10 years. I get it, you know, but he hasn't lost his fastball in terms of.
He's still got takes.
Yes.
No, he's still a hot take artist.
Instead of takes. And even if you're like, oh, man, I'm sick of that guy. I refuse to click on it. I refuse to give him the time of day. I don't watch it. When you see Skip Bayless said something scrolling through your timeline, part of you always goes, wonder what the hell he just said. He is legendary.
He is legendary. Yeah. He is one of the more notable hot take artists of all time. You can make the case that he is the most notable because of how it changed the game. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I am interested to see what happens with FS1 programming, because I think our guy, our personal friend, Nick Bright, is, I don't know exactly
how. He's their number one guy.
He's got to be.
He's their star.
And to the point, and this is not just because we know him personally, he has sort of taken that, exactly what you just described as Skip.
Yeah, can't scroll past it.
He's kind of taken that spot for me. It's maybe why I don't fully agree with you anymore, because Nick has ascended in a way.
Yeah.
And shout out to Nick and his ascension.
I mean, you and I, we can text him anytime we want. We can call him or whatever.
Yeah.
But if I see something Nick Wright said,
like, okay, what's Nick?
I'm like, well, what did he say?
What is he talking about? And the responses.
Yeah.
Because there is something to like wanting to see how people are like getting at your friend, because you're like, you know this person personally. Yeah. So like, you don't care, but other people are like incensed that he's got this take that, you know, it's not all that serious, guys.
Yes.
Calm down a little bit. That is the internet going nuts here on In the Loop. Coming up next, the things that I was wrong about after the Texans game from last night, and some more passing thoughts from the Hall of Fame game. That's next on Sports Radio 610.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
I was wrong about a few things, man. I was wrong about a few things after this game, or going into this game. They were things that I was wrong about, and I realized them after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be real. Got to be honest about it. Don't think I gave enough attention to one Xavier Hutchinson. I was surprised, Lopez, and this is a number of things I was wrong about, but this is at the top of my list. I thought last night was going to be a John Metchie game.
I think we all did. In this room anyway.
I thought if he wasn't their number one receiver, he'd at least be, you know, top two, top three, not three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it didn't work out that way. The best receivers, I thought, for the Texans last night were Xavier Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
To some degree, the tight ends, Ben Skowronek and Tegan Quatoriano.
I think so.
I'm sorry.
Kate Stover
and Tegan Quatoriano. I got ahead of myself. Kate Stover and Tegan Quatoriano, but then also Ben Skowronek. Those are four guys, though, that I would put ahead of and think of more before I'd get to Metchie, which was a little bit surprised and something I'd say I was wrong about, because I thought this would be for sure a game he'd be heavily featured in.
And it was a badly missed opportunity for him, because even in the preseason,
he's going to have more.
You're going to get more doses of small doses, but you're going to get more doses of Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs. They're going to play a quarter, maybe a half, whatever. This was an opportunity for John Metchie to play significant time from the very start of a game, and make a statement. So it's kind of like, as we're kind of moving into the weekend, we kind of start transitioning. And by the way, you know, the afternoon guy's going to have a lot to say about this. They're at Jersey's in Canton, Jersey Sports Grill in Canton, Ohio, and they'll be joining us here in a little bit. But like in my mind, you know, as we're wrapping up, I'm like, all right, so where do we go from here? John Metchie has a real where do we go from here thing going on, because he had a great opportunity, and D'Amico Ryans, as nicely as he could, kind of called him out for not taking advantage of that, saying, yeah, he's played really well during camp. I'm looking forward to how he responds to this. Well, this is what is what we're talking about. This was not his best taking advantage of an opportunity. So it's one to watch.
He was a gentleman about it.
Yeah.
He being D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans was a real gentleman about it, really diplomatic.
But it was clear.
Kind, if you will.
Yeah.
But what I heard from D'Amico Ryans when he was asked specifically about John Metchie was practice player.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Like right now, really good in practice, shows up, but we need to see it in the game.
Exactly.
What we see in practice, what we see in the offseason, everything that we talk about with Metchie, we got to see in the game. And maybe the story is more so Xavier Hutchinson looking the way he did. We even have a texter that mentioned this. I think it was more about Xavier Hutchinson and Ben Skoranek looking good as opposed to Mechie being bad. Maybe so.
Yeah, but who's getting open? Where's the first option given to your quarterback?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, where are you looking? Where are the quarterback's eyes going? When you watch a replay, what do you see about the play? And I saw a lot of John Mechie running a route, but with there not being a whole lot of conviction in, that's my option. That's where I'm going with the football. That's where my eyes are headed. Even look at that play where Tegan Quatoriano has the touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Where the guy falls and Tegan Quatoriano catches the ball. Davis Mills does a really good job of working through his progressions. You see where his eyes go. Who was the first person he went to? Who was the first person his eyes went to on that play in the back of the end zone, and it just wasn't there? It wasn't open, so he does a good job of coming back to the other option. It's Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Then who's next? Go through the progression. Go through the progression. Finally land on Tegan Quatoriano. Nowhere in there was my man Mechie, and that would be something I was wrong about because I would have – I mean, if you would have told me that, I would have said, for sure, no, he's going to be a part of a quarterback's progression. He's going to be an option, especially when guys like Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Noah Brown, Robert Woods even, those guys aren't out there in the mix. He should be the one.
Where do we go from here? We're on John Mechie watch. Not like, oh, my gosh, you know, they're going to cut him, but we're on John Mechie watch. We got to see how this goes from here.
I was glad to be wrong about this one, Lopez. Wasn't glad to be wrong about John Mechie.
Yeah.
Was glad to be wrong about Kenyon Green. I didn't think he would play. The starters didn't play. Kenyon Green seems like the unquestioned starting left guard.
Yeah.
He's also got a bit of an injury history. I could see why you might want to protect him. He's also really important if he's going to be your left guard. You need him to be right, if for no other reason, so you don't have to play those damn musical chairs that you had to play on the offensive line last year, the reason why you had Titus Howard playing guard again. So just protecting the ROI there, like you're just trying to protect it. I thought maybe he wouldn't play. I was wrong. He played well, and I was glad about it.
Yeah, I was hopeful he would play for the same reasons in a weird way that you were. Because he's been injured, because he's been questioned, because his fitness has been up and down, I was like, okay, I get it. You want to protect him, but I want to play him. I think he needs to get out on the field and prove it. But I wasn't sure. You know, I can't say I was right, wrong or I was right. I was just hopeful. But the good thing with him is the same opportunity that John Mechie couldn't or didn't, however it happened, take advantage of an opportunity.
He did that.
Head coach just said it.
He did that.
Like, unsolicited. If you weren't listening earlier, and I'm sure, like I said, the afternoon guys will play this, but, like, there was a great open-ended question today after last night's game. Hey, D'Amico, who stood out to you? First name out of his mouth, Kenyon Green.
Yeah, he gave you
Kenyon. That's taking advantage.
He gave you Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
He gave you Juice Scruggs, and he gave you Kalen Bullitt. Really went down the experience line there. A 3-year guy in Kenyon Green, 2-year guy in Juice Scruggs, and the rookie Kalen Bullitt. Those were the ones. And he wasn't a leading question. Hey, was Kenyon Green one of the top three guys that you watched last night?
Yeah.
Was Kalen Bullitt one of the top three guys? No. Who stood out?
Yeah.
Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, and Kalen Bullitt.
Yeah.
Like, that says a lot. A lot of guys played last night. And that passes the eye test. Obviously, D'Amico would be the expert here, and he's the one that's evaluating. But that passes the eye test. Those guys, and I mentioned this earlier, Santiago co-signed this, not necessarily the sexiest of topics, but extremely important to this Texans team's success. Like, basically the only question mark on offense is especially now that they've added Joe Mixon and hopefully he's healthy and all of that. But the only question marks on offense is, what's the interior line going to do? And do they have any depth at running back? Any. I felt like coming from last night, I felt better about both.
Yeah.
Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs on the inside. And Damian Pierce didn't play, but Cam Akers looks like a fine third option for a running back.
That was the biggest surprise. I don't know about right, wrong, or whatever. I had no expectation for Cam Akers. Dude tore his Achilles in November. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers' fourth play of the game in September. Oh, miracle, miracle, miracle. Well, he never played, and they're still kind of holding him out of preseason in part because of that Achilles. Cam Akers tore his in November, And he's out there making cuts like, holy smokes.
I think because of the position, we are just, I don't want to say naturally, but sometimes just inclined to key in on younger guys.
Yeah.
And to veer away from not just older guys, but older and off-injured guys.
Yeah.
And so never mind that Cam Akers has this background. Never mind that Cam Akers has a lot of good tape out there from before. He's older. And like you mentioned, man, he just tore his Achilles again recently. So it's like, okay, it's easy to give up on that idea.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to sell that dream to you because we've seen that movie before. Older, injured running back. The shelf life is already
pretty, I was just amazed.
Already pretty short to begin with.
Flat out.
You should have been amazed.
Yeah.
Because what are you supposed to expect from somebody who's been as injured as he's been and has the miles that he has? Like, you would expect a Jawar Jordan or British Brooks or even Dari Agumba, like the younger not
and as, Dari was good too.
Yeah, but even the younger and not as good guys or you know, the younger and not as off-injured guys is what I was trying to say. You would expect to see more from them. It surprised me that, like, I don't even, I'm with you.
Yeah.
He was an afterthought.
Yeah.
Cam Akers, I wasn't in a position to be right or wrong about him because I didn't have an opinion to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he's on the team, but he's an afterthought. I'm not thinking about him. I want to see what these rookies are going to do. And then my overreaction earlier to you was, hell with them rookies. Hell with them young players. Even
I don't know if it's an overreaction or not, but you might be right on that. Because you know Dameon Pierce and Joe Mixon are going to be at the top. Cam Akers just made a little statement. Dari Ogunbowale ain't going nowhere. Are there even going to be five?
Listen.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, Dameon Pierce, Dari Ogunbowale, Cam Akers.
Mm-hmm. That's it, isn't it? Maybe
we
one
got,
more?
We got a bunch of guys fighting for that fifth spot, whether that's on the 53-man roster or if that's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Who is that guy going to be? And I might like J.J. Taylor.
Mm-hmm. J.J. Taylor. How about that? He's like a 4 or 5 year guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I think fourth year.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, spent some time with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, third or fourth. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah,
but not a rookie.
Yeah.
Hey, look, British Brooks undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Jawar Jordan, late round pick,
practice squad,
and played
college
for 50 years. It seemed like he's he's one of those. They had a lot of those. They drafted young guys at the top of the draft.
Yeah,
Blake Fisher, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, super young. And then after that, a bunch of dudes has been around for a minute.
Yeah.
And Jawar Jordan is one of those, like, definitely older than C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
By a lot. Y'all going to have to get with it because the older dudes, the old heads ahead of y'all, I'd pick them. I would pick them 100%.
Yeah.
Some other things that I was wrong about. The backup quarterback situation.
This is where you and I are a little different on this.
I thought it was worse than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually okay. Like, am I going to be celebrating when if the time comes for Davis Mills to start a game?
Yeah.
Or Case Keenum to start a game? No. It'll be dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
But not as dreadful as I thought. I think I'll be fine. I think I'll be fine if they have to start. I'll survive it. I think the Texans can survive it so long as Bobby Slowick does his thing.
Yeah. Here's where I'm a little different with you, and I'm very interested to hear my guy Clint Sterner's take on this. I will be listening, and he will be joining us momentarily with Ron Hughley up at Jersey's in Canton, Ohio. If you're listening to us in Canton, Ohio, go by there. But my take on Davis Mills is we got the full experience in just a matter of a few plays. Credit to him. The offense was humming earlier, and I think it's a bigger credit to Bobby Slowick. And how he just had these guys prepared, not overthinking it, doing it second nature. It was very plain vanilla offense, nothing fancy, no game plan, and they were just they were just humming down the field. So you give Davis Mills credit for that, but for every two or three good plays you get out of Davis Mills, there's always that one or two, and that's been his calling card his entire career since he's been here, since he was drafted. Like, okay, Davis, I see you. And then all of a sudden, there's a ball that should have been a pick six and maybe would have been a pick six with a better defensive back. So it's not so much, hey, Davis Mills, I'm good with it. I think Davis Mills, we're going to have to be good with it. But the other thing is, I look at Bobby Slowick and I look at Jerod Johnson. Like, Davis Mills, this is what I wanted to ask Clint about. Davis Mills, like, I am not a quarterback guru. I am not a quarterback whisperer, but I've watched enough quarterbacks over the last 35 years to know when a guy is comfortable with the drills yeah. and the teaching that has been hammered into his head. Like that, his best play of the day was just kind of bouncing back, or was it up? Bouncing back from yeah. pressure, spinning the defensive end that was rushing, stepping back up and throwing the ball. You and I have been out to every practice. They do that exact same drill every yep. single day, multiple times. So he was, you know, prepared for that. And then the other thing is, and this is, again, I am the amateur, you know, quarterback whisperer. I admit that his feet just looked better.
Yep.
Like when he would turn and go, you talk about progressing reads, like moving reads to this one, to this one, to this one. Like his feet just looked better. The base, as Clint likes to say, and throwing off that back foot. I was like, that's better. Like I'm no expert, but that's better. So I credit Gerard. I credit Bobby Slowick. Obviously, you got to give Davis Mills some credit, but the player is still the same player. Just when you think, all right,
yep.
all of a sudden here comes a potential pick six.
I'm glad you're getting there, because yeah. all of that being said,
yeah.
all of those good things you just said, take them into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Big takeaway for me. Still look like a backup quarterback.
Yeah, for sure.
Still look like a backup quarterback. All of them did. But I'll tell you this. I don't have nothing against backup quarterbacks.
No.
Because for one of our teammates right here at Sports Radio 610 was a backup quarterback. And I love the man to death.
Yeah.
He's in Canton, Ohio right now, co-hosting The Drive with Ron Hughley. And he's going to let us know what he thought about what he saw from last night's quarterback, Davis Mills, our very own resident quarterback, Clint Sterner. Ron Hughley joining us from Canton, Ohio. How you fellas feeling?
We're at Jersey's, baby, and the traveling Texans. Some of them are in the building. They're going to be making their way. There they go. And they look like they're about ready to have a good-ass time out here.
They better.
They ordered shots before food, Lopez, so you know what time. They know what time it is. I can't wait to get into Davis Mills.
So, Clint, did y'all see what I saw?
I've
been looking forward to talking to Clint about this. Clint, I don't know if you heard what I was just talking about, but like I thought we got the full Davis Mills experience. There's a couple of good plays, and you start feeling good, and then he throws what could have been a pick six. But I thought like his – I hesitate to even say this because I'm not you, but I thought his technique, his base, his footwork, the way he was moving around – was a testament to the coaching that he's gotten.
Feet look less choppy to me.
Trust your eyes, man. One thing that'll always hold up is you can see a quarterback thinking by watching his feet, right? And Lopez, you're exactly right. You're trained to move that way, and when your mind is not panicking and you're seeing a very vanilla defense and you know where you're going to ball and you're confident, boy, you can see them feet, and we can all sit in the stands and see them feet just work through the progression and step in to drive that throw confidently. And you hit the nail on the head with that, and then the when you put the bow on it, talking about when things start moving a little bit faster, defenses get a little bit more multiple, the pocket gets a little bit more chaotic, all of a sudden we've seen Davis Mills go from that smooth operator and knowing where he's going with the football to all of a sudden them feet start working.
Yeah.
And we can watch it, and you know when them feet start working like that, and all of a sudden his wheels are spinning really fast up top, and it hasn't always been clean. And so that nail on the head, Lopez, with what I think – who I think Davis Mills is at this point. Now, hopefully he'll graduate beyond that and develop into something with some more time in the league, but – that is spot on analysis, in my opinion.
Hey, also Clint, I got to give you some credit on this, man. You had the right eye on that wide receiver room. I got to salute you. You had the right eye, I had the wrong one, man. It looks exactly like the way you forecasted it. I am not sure how John Metchie makes this team. I'm rooting for the dude.
Oh, Dow, you came all the way down from one that performance you said. Now you don't know if he's going to make the team.
Yeah, hey, if you don't target a dude and none of the dudes that are real dudes are out there, I don't know how my man's going to make the team. I was expecting him to be the number one receiver last night. He wasn't two or three.
Well, the reality, slant, he had a couple of opportunities, but the reality of it is, B. Scott, is there, we got to put more stock into the fact that when they trotted that kickoff return team out there, Xavier Hutchinson was one of the kick returners,
mm-hmm.
right? That speaks volumes for what they think of him, and he's not back there practicing for the hell of it. That's an emergency situation. He's a guy they really trust. And then you look at You know, they could have handed that football in that speed sweep. They could have handed it to any Texan they wanted to. They got about 42 receivers over there. And they handed it to 19. He punished the DB before he went out of bounds. And then you look, then we get to the five catches, you know, 50 some odd, 60 yards, whatever it was. I mean, those other things, just they're telling us exactly what the coaches have confidence in. And so for Mechie to take that next step, he's going to have receiving games like Xavier Hutchinson had last night. That's just the only way it's going to happen.
There you have it.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
I was wrong about a few things, man. I was wrong about a few things after this game or going into this game. They were things that I was wrong about, and I realized them after the game. Mm-hmm. And I got to be real. Got to be honest about it. Don't think I gave enough attention to one Xavier Hutchinson. I was surprised, Lopez, and this is a number of things I was wrong about, but this is at the top of my list. I thought last night was going to be a John Mechie game.
I think we all did. In this room anyway.
I thought if he wasn't their number one receiver, he'd at least be, you know, top two, top three, not three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it didn't work out that way. The best receivers, I thought, for the Texans last night were Xavier Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
To some degree, the tight ends, Ben Skoranek and Tegan Quatoriano.
I think so.
I'm sorry.
Kate Stover
and Tegan Quatoriano. I got ahead of myself. Kate Stover and Tegan Quatoriano. But then also Ben Skoranek. Those are four guys, though, that I would put ahead of and think of more before I'd get to Mechie, which was a little bit surprising, something I'd say I was wrong about, because I thought this would be for sure a game he'd be heavily featured in.
And it was a badly missed opportunity for him. Because even in the preseason,
he's going to have more.
You're going to get more doses of small doses, but you're going to get more doses of Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs. They're going to play a quarter, maybe a half, whatever. This was an opportunity for John Mechie to play significant time from the very start of a game and make a statement. So it's kind of like as we're kind of moving into the weekend, we kind of start transitioning. And by the way, you know, the afternoon guys going to have a lot to say about this. They're at Jersey's in Canton, Jersey Sports Grill in Canton, Ohio, and they'll be joining us here in a little bit. But like in my mind, you know, as we're wrapping up, I'm like, all right, so where do we go from here? John Mechie has a real where do we go from here thing going on, because he had a great opportunity. And D'Amico Ryans, as nicely as he could, kind of called him out for not taking advantage of that, saying, yeah, he's played really well during camp. I'm looking forward to how he responds to this. Well, this is what is what we're talking about. This was not his best taking advantage of an opportunity. So it's one to watch.
He was a gentleman about it.
Yeah.
He being D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans was a real gentleman about it. Really diplomatic.
But it was clear.
Kind, if you will.
Yeah.
But what I heard from D'Amico Ryans when he was asked specifically about John Mechie was practice player.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Like right now, really good in practice. Shows up, but we need to see it in the game.
Exactly.
What we see in practice, what we see in the offseason, everything that we talk about with Mechie, we got to see in the game. And maybe the story is more so Xavier Hutchinson looking the way he did. We even have a texter that mentioned this. I think it was more about Xavier Hutchinson and Ben Skoranek looking good as opposed to Mechie being bad. Maybe so.
Yeah, but who's getting open? Where's the first option given to your quarterback?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, where are you looking? Where are the quarterback's eyes going? When you watch a replay, what do you see about the play? And I saw a lot of John Mechie running a route, but there not being a whole lot of conviction in, that's my option. That's where I'm going with the football. That's where my eyes are headed. Even look at that play where Tegan Quatoriano has the touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Where the guy falls and Tegan Quatoriano catches the ball. Davis Mills does a really good job of working through his progressions. You see where his eyes go. who was the first person he went to? Who was the first person his eyes went to on that play in the back of the end zone, and it just wasn't there? It wasn't open, so he does a good job of coming back to the other option. It's Xavier Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Then who's next? Go through the progression. Go through the progression. Finally land on Tekan Quatoriano. Nowhere in there was my man Mechie. And that would be something I was wrong about, because I would have – I mean, if you would have told me that, I would have said, for sure, no, he's going to be a part of a quarterback's progression. He's going to be an option, especially when guys like Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Noah Brown, Robert Woods even, those guys aren't out there in the mix. He should be the one.
Where do we go from here? We're on John Mechie watch. Not like, oh, my gosh, you know, they're going to cut him, but we're on John Mechie watch. We got to see how this goes from here.
I was glad to be wrong about this one, Lopez. Mm-hmm. Wasn't glad to be wrong about John Mechie.
Yeah.
Was glad to be wrong about Kenyon Green. I didn't think he would play.
Mm-hmm.
The starters didn't play. Kenyon Green seems like the unquestioned starting left guard.
Yeah.
He's also got a bit of an injury history. I could see why you might want to protect him. He's also really important if he's going to be your left guard.
Mm-hmm.
You need him to be right, if for no other reason, so you don't have to play those damn musical chairs that you had to play on the offensive line last year. The reason why you had Tytus Howard playing guard again. So just protecting the ROI there. Like, you're just trying to protect it. I thought maybe he wouldn't play. I was wrong. He played well, and I was glad about it.
Yeah, I was hopeful he would play for the same reasons in a weird way that you were. Because he's been injured, because he's been questioned, because his fitness has been up and down, I was like, okay, I get it. You want to protect him, but I want to play him. I think he needs to get out on the field and prove it. But I wasn't sure. You know, I can't say I was right, wrong or I was right. I was just hopeful. But the good thing with him is the same opportunity that John Mechie couldn't or didn't, however it happened, take advantage of an opportunity.
He did that.
Head coach just said it.
He did that.
Like, unsolicited. If you weren't listening earlier, and I'm sure, like I said, the afternoon guys will play this, but, like, there was a great open-ended question today after last night's game. Hey, DeMeco, who stood out to you? First name out of his mouth, Kenyon Green.
Yeah, he gave you
Kenyon. That's taking advantage.
He gave you Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
He gave you Juice Scruggs, and he gave you Kalen Bullitt.
Mm-hmm.
Really went down the experience line there. A 3-year guy in Kenyon Green, 2-year guy in Juice Scruggs, and the rookie Kalen Bullitt. Those were the ones. And he wasn't a leading question. Hey, was Kenyon Green one of the top three guys that you watched last night?
Yeah.
Was Kalen Bullitt one of the top three guys? No. Who stood out?
Yeah.
Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, and Kalen Bullitt.
Yeah.
Like, that says a lot. A lot of guys played last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that passes the eye test. Obviously, DeMeco would be the expert here,
mm-hmm.
and he's the one that's evaluating. But that passes the eye test. Those guys, and I mentioned this earlier, Santiago co-signed this. Not necessarily the sexiest of topics, but extremely important to this Texans team's success. Like, basically the only question mark on offense is, especially now that they've added Joe Mixon and hopefully he's healthy and all of that, but the only question marks on offense is, what's the interior line going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And do they have any depth at running back? Any. I felt like coming from last night, I felt better about both.
Yeah.
Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs on the inside, and Damian Pierce didn't play. But Cam Akers looks like a fine third option for a running back.
That was the biggest surprise. I don't know about right, wrong, or whatever. I had no expectation for Cam Akers. Dude tore his Achilles in November. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers' fourth play of the game in September. Oh, miracle, miracle, miracle. Well, he never played, and they're still kind of holding him out of preseason in part because of that Achilles. Cam Akers tore his in November. And he's out there making cuts like, holy smokes.
I think because of the position, we are just, I don't want to say naturally, but sometimes just inclined to key in on younger guys.
Yeah.
And to veer away from not just older guys, but older and off-injured guys.
Yeah.
And so never mind that Cam Akers has this background. Never mind that Cam Akers has a lot of good tape out there from before. He's older, and like you mentioned, man, he just tore his Achilles again recently. So it's like, okay, it's easy to give up on that idea.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to sell that dream to you because we've seen that movie before. Older, injured running back. The shelf life is already
pretty, I was just amazed.
Already pretty short to begin with.
Flat out.
you should have been amazed.
Yeah.
Because what are you supposed to expect from somebody who's been as injured as he's been and has the miles that he has? Like, you would expect a Jawar Jordan or British Brooks or even Dario Gumba, like the younger, not
and as, Dario was good too.
Yeah, but even the younger and not as good guys, or you know, the younger and not as off injured guys is what I was trying to say. You would expect to see more from them. It surprised me that, like, I don't even, I'm with you.
Yeah.
He was an afterthought.
Yeah.
Cam Akers, I wasn't in a position to be right or wrong about him because I didn't have an opinion to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he's on the team, but he's an afterthought. I'm not thinking about him. I want to see what these rookies are going to do. And then my overreaction earlier to you was, hell with them rookies. Hell with them young players. Even
I don't know if it's an overreaction or not, but you might be right on that. Because you know Dameon Pierce and Joe Mixon are going to be at the top. Cam Akers just made a little statement. Dario Gumbawale ain't going nowhere. Are there even going to be five?
Listen.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, Dameon Pierce, Dario Gumbawale, Cam Akers.
Mm-hmm. That's it, isn't it? Maybe
we
one
got,
more?
We got a bunch of guys fighting for that fifth spot, whether that's on the 53-man roster or if that's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Who is that guy going to be? And I might like J.J. Taylor.
Mm-hmm. J.J. Taylor. How about that? He's like a 4 or 5 year guy, isn't he?
Yeah, I think fourth year.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Spent some time with the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, third or fourth. Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But not a rookie.
Yeah.
Hey, look. British Brooks, undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Jawar Jordan, late round pick.
Practice squad.
And played
college
for 50 years, it seemed like. Like, he's he's one of those. They had a lot of those. They drafted young guys at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
Blake Fisher, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, super young. And then after that, a bunch of dudes has been around for a minute.
Yeah.
And Jawar Jordan is one of those, like, definitely older than C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
By a lot. Y'all going to have to get with it because the older dudes, the old heads ahead of y'all, I'd pick them. I would pick them 100%.
Yeah.
Some other things that I was wrong about. The backup quarterback situation.
This is where you and I are a little different on this.
I thought it was worse than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually okay. Like, am I going to be celebrating if the time comes for Davis Mills to start a game?
Yeah.
Or Case Keenum to start a game? No. It'll be dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
But not as dreadful as I thought. I think I'll be fine. I think I'll be fine if they have to start. I'll survive it. I think the Texans can survive it so long as Bobby Slowick does his thing.
Yeah. Here's where I'm a little different with you, and I'm very interested to hear my guy Clint Sterner's take on this. I will be listening, and he will be joining us momentarily with Ron Hughley up at Jersey's in Canton, Ohio. If you're listening to us in Canton, Ohio, go by there. But my take on Davis Mills is we got the full experience in just a matter of a few plays. Credit to him. The offense was humming earlier, and I think it's a bigger credit to Bobby Slowick. And how he just had these guys prepared, not overthinking it, doing it second nature. It was very plain vanilla offense, nothing fancy, no game plan, and they were just they were just humming down the field. So you give Davis Mills credit for that, but for every two or three good plays you get out of Davis Mills, there's always that one or two, and that's been his calling card his entire career since he's been here, since he was drafted. Like, okay, Davis, I see you. And then all of a sudden, there's a ball that should have been a pick six and maybe would have been a pick six with a better defensive back. So it's not so much, hey, Davis Mills, I'm good with it. I think Davis Mills, we're going to have to be good with it. But the other thing is, I look at Bobby Slowick and I look at Jerod Johnson. Like, Davis Mills, this is what I wanted to ask Clint about. Davis Mills, like, I am not a quarterback guru. I am not a quarterback whisperer, but I've watched enough quarterbacks over the last 35 years to know when a guy is comfortable with the drills and the teaching that has been hammered into his head. Like, that, his best play of the day was just kind of bouncing back, or was it up? Bouncing back from pressure, spinning the defensive end that was rushing, stepping back up and throwing the ball. You and I have been out to every practice. They do that exact same drill every single day, multiple times. So he was, prepared for that. And then the other thing is, and this is, again, I am the amateur, quarterback whisperer. I admit that his feet just looked better.
Yeah.
Like, when he would turn and go, you talk about progressing reads, like moving reads to this one, to this one, to this one. Like his feet just look better. The base, as Clint likes to say, and throwing off that back foot. I was like, that's better. Like I'm no expert, but that's better. So I credit Gerard. I credit Bobby Slowick. Obviously, you got to give Davis Mills some credit, but the player is still the same player. Just when you think, all right,
yep,
all of a sudden, here comes a potential pick six.
I'm glad you're getting there, because all of that being said, all of those good things you just said, take them into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Big takeaway for me, still look like a backup quarterback.
Yeah, for sure.
Still look like a backup quarterback. All of them did. But I'll tell you this, I don't have nothing against backup quarterbacks.
No.
Because for one of our teammates right here at Sports Radio 610 was a backup quarterback, and I love the man to death.
Yeah.
He's in Canton, Ohio right now, co-hosting The Drive with Ron Hughley, and he's going to let us know what he thought about what he saw from last night's quarterback, Davis Mills, our very own resident quarterback, Clint Sterner. Ron Hughley joining us from Canton, Ohio. How you fellas feeling?
We're at Jersey's, baby, and the traveling Texans, some of them are in the building. They're going to be making their way. There they go. And they look like they about ready to have a good-ass time out here.
They ordered
shots before food, Lopez, so you know what time. They know what time it is. I can't wait to get into Davis Mills.
So, Clint, did y'all see what I saw?
I've
been looking forward to talking to Clint about this. Clint, I don't know if you heard what I was just talking about, but like, I thought we got the full Davis Mills experience. There's a couple of good plays, and you start feeling good, and then he throws what could have been a pick six. But I thought, like, his I hesitate to even say this because I'm not you, but I thought his technique, his base, his footwork, the way he was moving around was a testament to the coaching that he's gotten.
Feet look less choppy to me.
Look, trust your eyes, man. One thing that'll always hold up is you can see a quarterback thinking by watching his feet, right? And Lopez, you're exactly right. You're trained to move that way, and when your mind is not panicking and you're seeing a very vanilla defense and you know where you're going to ball and you're confident, boy, you can see them feet, and we can all sit in the stands and see them feet just work through the progression and step in to drive that throw confidently, and you hit the nail on the head with that, and then the when you put the bow on it, talking about when things start moving a little bit faster, defenses get a little bit more multiple, the pocket gets a little bit more chaotic, all of a sudden we've seen Davis Mills go from that smooth operator and knowing where he's going with the football to all of a sudden them feet start working.
Yeah.
And we can watch it, and you know when them feet start working like that, and all of a sudden his wheels are spinning really fast up top. And it hasn't always been clean. And so that nail on the head, Lopez, with what I think, who I think Davis Mills is at this point. Now, hopefully he'll graduate beyond that and develop into something with some more time in the league. But that is spot on analysis, in my opinion.
Hey, also, Clint, I got to give you some credit on this, man. You had the right eye on that wide receiver room. I got to salute you. You had the right eye, I had the wrong one, man. It looks exactly like the way you forecasted it. I am not sure how John Metchie makes this team. I'm rooting for the dude.
Oh, Dow, you came all the way down from one that performance you said. Now you don't know if he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't target a dude and none of the dudes that are real dudes are out there, I don't know how my man's going to make the team. I was expecting him to be the number one receiver last night. He wasn't two or three.
Well, the reality, slant, he had a couple of opportunities, but the reality of it is, B. Scott, is there, we got to put more stock into the fact that when they trotted that kickoff return team out there, Xavier Hutchinson was one of the kick returners,
mm-hmm,
right? That speaks volumes for what they think of him, and he's not back there practicing for the hell of it. That's an emergency situation. He's a guy they really trust. And then you look at, you know, they could have handed that football and that speed sweep. They could have handed it to any Texan they wanted to. They got about 42 receivers over there. And they handed it to 19. He punished the DB before he went out of bounds. And then we get to the five catches, you know, 50 some odd, 60 yards, whatever it was. I mean, those other things, just they're telling us exactly what the coaches have confidence in. And so for Metchie to take that next step, he's going to have receiving games like Xavier Hutchinson had last night. That's just the only way it's going to happen.
There you have it.